Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
For Trent. Number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month. Brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
I came to this country in 1986. And one of the things that I kind of struggled with was meeting new people. And one of the things I did was meet new people through baseball. For me, it was like a connection to the country and to the people and the culture that was really important to me. You know, when I watch a game, I just have questions. Why is this player so good? Is this player going to keep being good? Those sort of questions, I think, are the key to a good story.
Hit and Run with Matt Spiegel, Sunday mornings on The Score.
Welcome back in on Hit and Run here on 670 The Score, your Sunday morning baseball friend in a two-team town, which should be interesting again in a pretty open National League Central. Cardinals, I think, got to be the favorites, but other than that, it's pretty open, and the Cardinals aren't even that great necessarily. And then the White Sox, even without Eloy Jimenez, right there battling in what should be a very, very interesting American League Central. Let's talk some baseball with our next guest, whose voice you heard right there from The Athletic, joining us on the Score Hotline, which is presented by Alpamonte Ford. Alpamonte Ford in Melrose Park on North Avenue or apford.com, is Eno Saris, who we love talking baseball with here on Hit and Run. Good morning, Eno. How are you?
Good morning. Great to talk baseball. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely, man. Here we go. I'm so excited. Fans in the stands. It's going to matter to players. It's going to matter to broadcast. It's just going to be fun to look at, isn't it? No cardboard and no digital fans either. I'm looking forward to it, man.
You know, players actually said off the record last year, well, I think one quote that we got for one of our pieces at The Athletic was, it had the intensity of a spring training B game.
See, it's so, just brutal. It's just brutal, man. Like,
yeah, the fans will matter.
Have you put a metric on it? I know you love analytics and you're terrific at it, but you've got a feel for the heart and the soul of the game too by talking to people. You know, which is the thing. It's like, I don't know how we're supposed to measure it, but I know that Javier Baez is better with a crowd. You know, some musicians are better with a crowd, right? Some comics are better with a crowd. It's just, it's difficult to measure, but it's true for some guys.
Well, you know, I think Francisco Lindor was really interesting. He outperformed his projections. Like, his minor league numbers were good, but they weren't amazing. And then he came, he had a lot more power in the big leagues. And, you know, I've asked him a couple different times about that, and you know, sometimes he has a mechanical answer, but sometimes he says it's the show, man. It down there wasn't the show, and this is the show. So it was just different for him. It was just more intensity. So I do think that it's not something we can measure, because it's going to affect everybody differently. There are guys who are just like, I show up and I play, and I, you know, like Mike Trout dominates probably tiddlywinks, you know. in his backyard or whatever, you know. So he'll come and he'll play and he'll win no matter what the game is. But some guys just need the lights and the fans. And you know, listening to, like, old clips, you're like, oh, man, like, that's what's so big about these moments is just the roar of the crowd, you know?
Yeah, no, I know it. I miss high-fiving strangers. I'll do that at a ballpark soon.
Exactly. Yeah.
One of my favorite things in life is to high-five a stranger after a good thing at a baseball game. All right, Eno, you and Ken Rosenthal reported on the deadening of the baseball a couple months ago. Where do we stand? How do you feel about it? Difficult to see with the air quality in both Arizona and Florida, it's tough to gauge. But do you feel like we're going to see a deadened baseball in MLB this year?
I mean, they literally came out and told us that. What's tough about spring is traditionally you use a lot of last year's balls. So they make a lot of balls for the postseason. And if you don't advance, then you have these extra balls. So you'll have extra 2020 balls still lying around. And spring training is usually when you get rid of those. At the same time, I think they probably wanted to give pitchers a little bit of a chance to feel the new ball. So I wouldn't be surprised if there's a mix of old and new balls going on right now. And opening day will be the first time we see the new ball in action everywhere. They said that they were going to deaden the inside in terms of the bounce of the ball. And, you know, they said it wouldn't be a big deal, but it would be kind of on the level of maybe 2017, where we had fewer homers. 2019 broke all the records. So maybe back to 2017, but the problem is they didn't measure the drag, and they don't know how it flies through the air. So it could fly through the air better or worse, and that will have some effect beyond what they did, you know, in terms of what they thought they did with the bounciness. So I think it's a big question mark. But the guess was that we'd lose about 5% of homers. You know, whether or not you think that's a big deal sort of depends on which one of your players lost the most homers, I guess.
You know, I feel like all these different things are designed with the one commonality in place. And, you know, people want more action. And now that there's, whether it's Chris Young, who wanted to do some of this stuff last year, and now Theo Epstein in the commissioner's office, and some of the stuff they're doing, you've got, obviously, some of the rules in the minors that people know about, the prospective ban on bullfrog sunscreen and all the other sticky stuff for the pitchers, which is going to be difficult to enforce. But all of that, and the deadening of the baseball, it's all kind of designed to get more balls in play, but is any of it going to be enough on its own, or is the idea that all of these factors, if addressed a little bit, will push the scales in the right direction?
I'm all for experimentation. I think that baseball has fallen behind some of the other sports in terms of experimentation. If you think about basketball's changes as they try to make the end of the game better, you know, in terms of fouling and the changes they've made just on perimeter defense that made it so exciting in basketball today. I think in football, they played around with pass interference in different ways. And now, you know, passing is such a huge part of the game. I think that baseball has sort of fallen behind when it comes to tinkering with the game. And I'm okay with tinkering. You know, the point is to be entertained. And we can change the rules to incentivize and make this thing happen. It's not, don't blame the nerds that are just trying to win within the game structure. They're just, you know, analytics, teams, front offices, they're just trying to win given the rules. But we can change the rules. We can change the assets. We can make it 85 feet, you know, from base to base if we wanted. That's actually one thing I kind of like. I think that would bring the stolen base back a little bit. You know, there's certain things we can do. So I like tinkering in general. The ones that they have implemented in the minor leagues, I'm pretty much a bigger fan of, like the bigger base at second base.
Yep.
You know, I kind of like that one. You know, robot arms. One thing about robot arms is it allow us to tweak the strike zone to give us what we want too. And we'll be able to be really precise about it. Instead of saying the umpires are going to call the high strike this year, we're going to say the computer is going to call the high strike this year.
Yeah, and then it is. It just simply is.
So I think that all the stuff is pretty good. One thing that I like the pitch clock because I think that will reduce velocity. I think velocity is the main problem. The, the velocity is 94, around 94 miles per hour on average this year. When we started tracking in baseball, it was 89 miles an hour was average. So we've really pumped up the velocity, and I think that's causing all the strikeouts. And so if we can do something, a pitch clock will just not let them have as much time between pitches. And if you weightlift, you know, if you take more time, you can do bigger maxes and stuff. So, that's what they're doing is they're taking longer between pitches so they can throw harder. So I put a pitch clock in and we'll see. I the one thing is do it always in the minor leagues first and do it for enough time so that you can see what happens to the game. And then implement in the big leagues.
Will there ever be a point that these things coalesce to make hitters stop trying to just hit it out of the ballpark every time to hit it over the shift? You know what I mean? Or even if there's no shift, will they still be trying to just hit it out of the ballpark because velocity is high, because it's difficult to hit, as we know, and because you get paid for home runs? I mean, I dream of hitters saying, you know what, I will go ahead and try to just hit it over there and use the whole field. I just don't know what is going to be enough incentive to change that.
I mean, contracts are a big incentive. And so I think, Mookie Betts signing a big deal is a big deal. I mean, there's a guy who sprays it all over the park, makes real great contact, has a good strikeout rate. And I think I've done some research that shows that in the postseason, team strikeout rate is a really powerful predictor of success in the future. And so if teams see that and say, let's say we expand the playoffs and everybody gets the playoffs, you know, I'm not saying everybody literally, but and half the league gets the playoffs, then all of a sudden it will really matter what happens in the playoffs almost a little bit more than what happens in the regular season. And then people might see that, oh, strikeout rate really matters. And then they might sign more Michael Brantley types over, you know, a slugger with a 28%, 27% strikeout rate. And if that happens, it sort of filters down to, you know, the minor leagues and even to instructional ball where people say, whoa, you know, people really value people who can make contact. You look at that big contract Mookie just signed. Look at what these teams are doing. So some of it, hopefully, there'll be sort of a natural incentive to do that.
You know, tell me a couple players that you're really fascinated to watch this year that you think we'll be talking about a lot. I talked about Ohtani quite a bit last hour, just the expectations for that and how exciting that is and what it might do for the Angels. But give me a couple others, players that really excite you and interest you for this year.
Well, you know, we had such a small, short season, and they didn't have any in-game video for hitters. So I'm really kind of fascinated by how J.D. Martinez, Christian Yelich, and Javier Baez are going to do. Those are three that I singled out as having made some comments about in-game video.
Yep.
Three that just had really poor seasons, and it wasn't super easy to kind of point to any one thing and say, you know, this was the problem. And so I really want to, and, you know, if you throw Cody Bellinger in there, those are four players that are just amazing, you know, MVP level players that, you know, all had terrible seasons at the same time. Like, remember we were doing videos of Yelly versus Belly and like, who's going to win the MVP, you know, and
yeah,
they both went out and just dropped stinkers on us. So I kind of want to see them, the kind of return to grace, is interesting to me. There's some really young pitchers that you know, in different ways just fascinate me. Ian Anderson in Atlanta and Jose Urquidy in Houston. Jose Urquidy, if you like drew him up in a lab, if you drew his pitch movements up in a lab, he'd be perfect. You'd only want to give him like a tick of gas, and that's about it. Ian Anderson's numbers don't look good on paper, but he had such a great debut. So I'm really fascinated by those two pitchers. Then generally, I think the other thing that I'm just waiting to see is, like, what's going to happen with pitching? Like, are we going to just everyone is searching for innings. How are they going to get them? Are we just going to have rotating, players coming through? Everyone's going to be hurt, and everyone's going to be sent down to manage their innings, and we're going to, you know, every team is going to use 20 starting pitchers, or, is it going to be more normal than we think? So those are kind of some storylines I'm tracking.
Good stuff. I think Javi And JD and those guys, like, we all know visual learners. We know guys who learn visually, and just there's power in standing there in the dugout and being like, oh, that's what I'm doing. Okay, all right. It works for some and not for others, so it makes all the sense in the world. We're trying to figure out whether Chris Bryant is ever going to return to excellence, and healthy excellence at that. And a troubling thing is his hard hit rate, which has just gone down and down and down over the last, I think it's 6 years in a row. His hard hit rate has gone down from 2015 to 2020. And any insight as to why that's happened, and where's the confidence for Bryant within the industry as you talk to folks about it?
I think there's a fair amount of pessimism, and I think that you're putting your finger on it in terms of what people are looking at. You know, I just wonder what happened with the shoulder in terms of, you know, how that healed up, and if there's something chronic there, or, you know, if there's been just like a physical weakness. That's what I kind of wonder when I look at it, you know?
Yeah.
Because it just kind of stares you in the face that he's just not hitting the ball as hard as he used to. There is some aging aspect to that, so it just could just be age, but he's not so old that you'd expect this to happen like this. So, you know, I'm definitely watching him too, and there's so many questions around the Cubs. The Cubs are a fascinating team because a little bit like the Astros, where, you know, these are these teams that came up and had such a great positional core and had some success, and now they face the big decision about who do we extend, who do we keep around, you know, Rizzo, Bryant, Baez, you know, Contreras, who do we keep around? Who do we give money to? And it's a really important one, because if you make the wrong decisions, I think the Giants show you that if you kind of extend, I'm not saying the wrong players, but if you extend everybody, that's kind of what the Giants did, you can get into trouble too. So it makes sense to kind of pick and choose and figure out who you want to keep around. And I don't know. I think it's kind of looking like Rizzo is a good bet to continue his offensive production at first, like he has. And but on the other hand, like, people generally don't like extending first baseman and spending on that sort of offensive package. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, Rizzo. Rizzo, though, you know, the face of the franchise in a lot of ways, very active and public and respected around town. So, and they did offer him an extension apparently this week. My money's on Rizzo and Baez. And I have concerns about Javi as a player and as a hitter, but he is very popular, and helps with the draw and helps with young international players too. The young shortstop that the Cubs signed, Christian Hernandez, is the name. He'd picture a Javier Baez in his bedroom. You know, it's like there's power there as you're fighting in the international market. What do you think of the White Sox without Eloy Jimenez now in the middle of that lineup? Gone all year long, gone for 5 or 6 months. And are they still the best bet to challenge the Yankees in the American League?
No, I think this has dropped them a little bit because I have some questions about their pitching depth, too. You know, if you know, teams are going to be using 7, 8, 9 starters, and I think behind Kopech, who's like their sixth starter, I have some questions about, you know, who's going to step forward there. You know, they've had some trouble keeping their arms in the bullpen healthy, so you know, bullpen depth is a question, but I'm not saying that I think they're bad now. I mean, they're still very good, and if they could afford any step back, I think it's on the offensive side. And then one nice thing is that Eloy is not a great defender, so that means that they are now looking on the buyout market, almost like in basketball. They're out there looking for who doesn't make an opening day roster. They're looking at final cuts, like a Todd Frazier, who just got let go by the Pirates. He could end up with them. They basically can use DH, and I think if Vaughn can play some left field, they can go find a DH. Yoenis Cespedes or Yasiel Puig. We'll have to see how that works in that clubhouse with Tony there. But you know, I think they have options. They can go get a bat. They'll be okay.
Hmm. What do you who do you like in the American League to battle with the Yankees then?
I think you got to give it to the Rays, man. I know they went and traded Snell, and the arms they signed seem underwhelming in ways. But they are so good at it. They'll get just enough innings out of the old guys, and they'll start mixing in the new guys. And by the end of the year, they'll have a completely different rotation than they have at the beginning of the year. And I bet you they'll be, you know, the second best team in the American League.
Yeah, it makes sense. Lots of folks to trust in that pitching infrastructure and that organization. Eno, thank you so much. Appreciate the conversation. Enjoy it. Keep killing it over at The Athletic. It seems like anybody who's writing something where they're like, oh, I need some help with smart stuff, let me ask Eno. And it seems then you collaborate with everybody. Do I have that right, pretty much?
I mean, I don't know. I can bring the analytics perspective. I have a lot of sourcing in player development and in analytics squads. So that's what it's just really fun to me to collaborate with these people because they have totally different sources and they have, you know, they can really handle a narrative and really write the heck out of a story. So a lot of times I just come in and just drop a couple nuggets of knowledge that support their argument, basically.
Yeah.
And it's been so much fun. That's what I wrote in my, we all had those Why I Joined the Athletic pieces.
Yes.
Back in the day, I wrote, it's all going to be about collaboration and synergy for me because there's so many great writers here, and I'm really excited to collaborate with them. So.
And that's the way it's playing out. Keep at it, man. All right, Eno, enjoy yourself, enjoy your year, and enjoy your high-quality beer as well. Plug the beer stuff, please.
Yeah, I actually have something really fun coming out in your market. I'm collaborating with Old Irving Brewery, and we're producing a 5% crusher of a hazy pale ale, sort of a lighter hazy pale ale called Ephus. That'll be out after opening day. And I hope people cop it and enjoy it, because if they do, we can do it again.
That is awesome. So Ephus, like Rip Sewell's pitch, at Old Irving Brewery, which is 4419 West Montrose in Chicago. I love it. My dad still tells me about Ted Williams homering off Rip Sewell in the All-Star game. He check out the video if you haven't seen it. He walks up into the pitch, takes like three steps up like he's Happy Gilmore. And just hammers it out of the park. It's awesome.
It's extending Zach Greinke's career. It's a great pitch. It just takes forever to get there.
There you go. All right. Thanks, Eno. Appreciate you.
Thanks.
You got it. That's Eno Saris. Does great work with baseball and with beer. Texter makes a great point that perhaps Eno does not remember, that Todd Frazier will not be back here in Chicago because Adam Eaton is here. Yeah, I think that's a level of discomfort that no one needs to readdress. Why add that to your mix? I don't think it's very, very advisable. All right, let's talk about the best bullpens around baseball. And before we get out of here, some predictions and some numbers that Sean Anderson and I will be tracking all year long. And we'll get your involvement on that as well at 312-644-6767. And yes, Texter, I did want to ask Brian Saris about music for airports or, producing U2 or the Talking Heads, but it just didn't seem appropriate in the context of the conversation. It's Hit and Run with Matt Spiegel and 670 The Score. Anthony Herron up at the top of the hour.
You sit in traffic now, but later there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Oh, sad day at my house last week. When we pulled out the Nintendo and put in this game, Sean Anderson, me and the wife were ready to play Roger Clemens MVP Baseball on the old Nintendo, not the Super Nintendo, but the regular Nintendo, and it just kept freezing. Finally got it to work, did the Nintendo blow on the cartridge to get it in there, and we're all lined up. The Chicago Swords against the Boston Hawks, I think it is. They weren't allowed to call them by the regular team names. Weren't allowed to call the players by the regular team names. So, like, Mark Grace is in the game as Gace, G-A-C-E. Greg Maddux is Gaddux, G-A-D-D-U-X. I think Hawk is there instead of Andre Dawson. So, you know, it was fun to look at all these lineups again, try to play, but it failed. I need to get a game system. I need to get a game system, and it needs to have a baseball game. But I don't have a lot of money, so I should get something that's a little vintage. Sean, are you a gamer guy? It's a hit and run, by the way, on 670 The Score. I'm Matt Spiegel. It is The Score's baseball show. Anthony Herron coming up at the top of the hour. Opening day is this Thursday. But I need to add a game system and an excellent video game of, you know, maybe sometime in the vintage of the last 5 or 7 years. That's just fine for me and the wife to play and to introduce the boy and try to get him sucked into the game.
I think if you're trying to do that, I think MLB Show is probably the best recent vintage that probably would teach him the game the best. Yeah. I would say that, you know, they've been making games since 2005. And they've been pretty much the main baseball game since 2011 when 2K stopped making baseball games. So I would say the show is probably the most recent game that would probably do the best of teaching Rubes okay. The game.
All right.
Our game.
Our game. Thank you. I believe Sean Marshall dropped a couple of our games in the interview as well. If you could flag those for me and we can keep our collection going for our game. Yeah, so MLB The Show, it comes out for Xbox and PlayStation this year. We'll have to see. I'll do some crowdsourcing and some dollar grabbing as well. There is an article on MLB.com listing the best bullpens in the game. The Twins and Alex Colome get a mention down at number 10. The A's get a mention, I think, at number 7. Even without Liam Hendricks, they're still good. There's the Rays bullpen, which we saw and we know is creative and deep and has a ton of teams with different looks. And there are the Brewers and Craig Counsell, very creative. And they've got the dude who throws the airbender, and they've got Josh Hader and, you know, a few different ways. But they're number one at the very tippity top of the list of the best bullpens in baseball is the Chicago White Sox, with Liam Hendricks as the closer. Just interesting to see the names that they list. primary setup men for Liam Hendricks are listed as Evan Marshall, Aaron Bummer, and Cody Hoyer. That's the forgotten name that just needs to be thought about. He gave up a run for the first time in the spring the other day. He has closer quality stuff. It is amazing how good his stuff is. And I got to say, because we think of Hendricks and Marshall and Bummer, and then we think of the ambidextrous gravy of Michael Kopech and Garrett Crochet, fireballers, both probably starters long term, but in the bullpen now, that makes Cody Hoyer like the sixth guy you think of. It's the sixth guy you think of. And he would be a closer on a lot of teams. And, of course, there's Matt Foster in there as well. Here's what MLB.com says. Sign the best reliever in baseball and add it to what you've had, and you have the best bullpen in baseball. Sox had a pretty nice bullpen brewing before they inked Hendricks. Marshall has a 2.45 ERA over the last two seasons. Bummer, who had a 2.13 ERA and 0.99 whip in 2019, is back after a left bicep strain, limited him to 9 appearances last year. Two eye-opening, mitt-pounding rookies stepped up last year in Cody Hoyer and Matt Foster, another name that we don't even talk about. It'll be fun to see if Garrett Crochet, last year's number 11 overall draft pick, can make an impact after getting his feet wet last season. And the club's number 2 prospect, Michael Kopech, is out of the bullpen, too. This is a fun and good and deep bullpen. Oh, yes, it is. I cannot wait. I cannot wait to see how they use these guys. Is Hoyer the closer when Hendricks can't go after a couple days of being used in a row? Is it Bummer, who's certainly capable, depending on the matchup? Awfully good against both sides. Do you leave Bummer and Marshall as your setup men in that instance and just slot Hoyer in for Hendricks? I might do it that way. Does Crochet get clean inning starts just about all the time? Does Kopech go a couple innings? Is he really the swing guy? Or might you end up using him as a fireballer in specific spots? Will anybody emerge as a setup option other than Marshall and Bummer, like Crochet or Kopech? It's just really interesting. And because it's so wide open and it's so rife for creativity, it's going to get a lot of questioning of Tony La Russa and Ethan Katz. Managers love push-button bullpens so they can say, well, that's just, you know, that was that guy's job. It was his turn. And now I know it went wrong. I understand, but that was his time. Lately, though, people are being very, very creative. Love it. Down in Tampa, you never knew who was going to come out at a certain time. The closer might show up in the fourth, and then they'll use somebody else to finish along the way. So how creative will Tony be? How open to usage will all these guys be? Is Liam Hendricks going to be a Dennis Eckersley-esque ninth-inning-only guy like Tony kind of invented and had for a while there? He could do more than that, but we'll have to see. I assume that Hendricks will be the ninth-inning, one-inning guy most of the time. Certainly capable of doing more, but why bother when you've got all these horses that you have? Can't wait. I was mentioning that the White Sox got another Cuban player, Oscar Colas, the corner infielder with a big, big arm, lots of raw power, been playing in Japan with very good stats and success while being about 3 years younger than everybody else there. Delayed to get here, no season for him last year, and the need for seasoning. You're not going to be signing until 2022 of January. Unrealistic for the bigs. For 2022, 2023 maybe. And I couldn't resist a little Buena Vista Social Club as we talk about the White Sox Cuban connection. It is impressive. It is historic. It is deep. It is ongoing. Yasmani Grandal and Luis Robert were the 21st and 22nd Cuban players to play for the White Sox. Fourth among all franchises. This goes back to Minnie Minoso and Contreras and El Duque, of course. The top four in a lineup at one point last year, amazing, for the very first time. Oscar Colas is coming. Hey, he is a mid-90s fastball as a pitcher, too, by the way. But they'd called him the Cuban Ohtani. He's not going to be used there. He is going to be he's going to end up being a corner outfielder with a big, big arm, hopefully to slot in after Adam Eaton and his time are done here in Chicago. With him and Yoelki Cespedes, lots of outfield options, and Eloy can be a DH next time he plays, which might be, not be until next year. Maybe August, maybe September, and hell, maybe October for Eloy Jimenez. That'd be fun. But, boy, from when you talk to people about that injury, the ruptured pectoral tendon, that getting in the way of that lead shoulder for a hitter, potential troubles. Give the man as much time as he needs. It's Hit and Run on 670 The Score. We'll come back and make some predictions for the leagues and for some awards, and also take a look at some numbers that we're going to be tracking all year long on Hit and Run right here on 670 The Score.
They're going to go from piranhas to sardines. Prediction is a prediction.
It is Hit and Run right here on 670 The Score. Sean Anderson is my producer. I am Matt Spiegel here with you all year long, and I cannot wait. In fact, I'm not waiting. I'm doing the show already. Final segment here, a few different numbers that we need to kick around and discuss. But before we get to those, let's go ahead and make broad predictions here. Sean, write me down, and we'll come back and take a look. Last year, I was good. I think I had all six divisions correct. Did not have the World Series teams correct, but I had all six divisions correct. This year, look, the Yankees are going to win the American League East. I do believe the White Sox will outlast the Twins and win the American League Central. I think the Angels will take the West. They'll trade for more pitching along the way if they need it. And yeah, there's some hope mixed into this one for me. Absolutely. But I want to see Ohtani, Rendon, Trout all year long and see them in the playoffs as well. But I think that I think the Angels will get it done this year. Wild card teams, the Twins and the Toronto Blue Jays will be your wild card teams. In the National League East, it is the Washington Nationals with fifth starter John Lester and left fielder Kyle Schwarber and the rest of that amazing rotation. And starting third baseman, Starlin Castro. They sent down Carter Kieboom, and Castro is going to get the opening day start at third for the Washington Nationals. That's not why I'm picking him, but I am picking the Nationals. And Dave Martinez, my God. How many Cubs can we have? The Nationals wondered. The answer is a lot. The Nats in the National League East. The Cardinals, unfortunately, in the National League Central. The Dodgers, of course, in the West, just outlasting the Padres. It is the Padres and who's it going to be in the other wild card? Who would it be, Speaks? It's the Braves. I still like the over on the Cubs. I saw them at 79.5 wins, but not a playoff team this year. So Padres and Braves are wild card. The Dodgers over the White Sox in the World Series. That is my prediction. Anything wildly different from me there, Sean Anderson, as you're thinking about the season?
Wildly different? No. I think the major thing that I would say is I think that Atlanta will take the NL East. But outside of that, I pretty much agree with you. NL Central, I think, is up in the air, but, you know, Central has, or the Cardinals have Arenado and Goldschmidt, so it's tough to go away from them.
Yeah, it's pretty good. It's pretty good on the corners there. There are bets that the Parkins and Spiegel Show has put up over on the Bet Rivers app. If you have the Bet Rivers app, just go to the top left, hit the menu button, and halfway down on the left side, there they are, your Parkins and Spiegel bets. And we'll be tracking them all year long. More hits this year, Tim Anderson or Javier Baez? More to score more runs this year, Luis Robert or Ian Happ? And there are odds on this. Their odds makers went ahead and put odds on this, which makes it really fun. More home runs this year, Jose Abreu or Anthony Rizzo? More saves this year, Liam Hendricks or Craig Kimbrell? You can go pound Hendricks if you want. To record more innings pitched, Lucas Giolito or Kyle Hendricks? That'll be a fun one to track. Who's going to play the most innings in left field for the White Sox? We talked about that earlier in the show. I think it is Adam Engel. Who will have the most at-bats at DH for the White Sox? Who's going to have the most at-bats at DH? I'm going to say that I think it's going to end up, it's interesting. Could it be Vaughn? Could it be Yasmani Grandal? Could it be Zach Collins? Could be a lot of these guys. Abreu will have some. They're going to split it all up. Most at-bats at DH for the Sox, I'll say Andrew Vaughn. I'll go easy. White Sox record after leading after the fifth. This is a fun one, Sean, because Aaron Bummer said they want to lose no games with a lead after the fifth inning.
Yeah, he said something like 90-0 they want to go after having leads of 5-0. After five.
Leads after six, most teams are very, very good. It's just the nature of the game and what the stats end up being. Leads after the fifth. All right, we'll track it. I'll set the over-under at 1.5. Make it 2.5. 2.5 losses for the White Sox when leading after the fifth. You want the over or the under on 2.5 losses?
That is very low. I'll take the over on that. I think they'll lose more than 2.5 after leading after five.
I'm telling you, watch the... 2.5 is low. But look at the numbers after the...
And we're talking when the bullpen comes in, right? So, like, if Giolito goes into the eighth inning and loses the game, does that count against the bullpen?
You know what? Let's workshop this one a little bit, shall we? Let's table it and workshop it.
I think we could track anytime the bullpen has the lead after five innings, we could just track their record.
Okay, so bullpen with a lead after five. Then, all right, let's raise that number. How many losses do you think they'll have?
I think we could probably put it at 4.5.
Yeah, call it 4.5. I'll go under at 4.5.
I'll take the over still.
Okay. Who's going to play the most innings at second base for the Cubs? Now we know that answer. It's going to be David Bodie. Handed the job here on opening day. Sogard will get some innings there. Maybe Ildemiro Vargas will make the team. It's either he or Matt Duffy, probably for that final spot. But that's going to be Bodie. And Nico Horner will have to fight his way back and will probably get here. And then some of these that Sean provided, I'll go ahead and weigh in on, and I like them a lot. Lucas Giolito, over under 265 strikeouts. That would be 12.1 K per nine with 200 innings. If he reaches 265, he'll be only the third White Sox player to do so. Chris Sale and Ed Walsh in 1908. I do think Lucas will get there. So, 265. So I'll go over 264.5.
Yeah, he had the K per nine was 12.1 last year. So that's where I was taking that number from. I think it's going to be under just because, it was such a short sample size last year. His K per nine in 2019 was around 11. So I think that he might be around that like 235, 240 spot.
Yeah, and there's, and 200 innings, 200 innings is a battle. It's a battle these days in MLB. Over-under slugging percentage for Javi Baez. 2019-2020, he slugged over 500 every other season. He has been under 500. He slugged over 500 last year? Did Javi?
My bad. Poor writing. Last year he wasn't, but in 2018 and 2019 he was over.
Right.
So 2020 he was under.
2020 he was under. 2018 and 2019.
He was under 4 in 20. Yeah, under 4 in 2020.
He was under 4 last year. I'll go slightly under the 500 slugging percentage for Javier Baez. Slightly under.
I'll take well under. I just think that he talked about the fact that he wants to see more strikes, but he has a top five whiff rate in MLB history. Like, and he's up there with Joey Gallo. He's up there with, forgetting the guy's name, William Pena. Like, he's up there with guys that really shouldn't be up there with Javi Baez. And I think that this year it's still going to be a struggle for him, but hopefully it's a bounce back season for him when he's still around, 450 slugging.
White Sox bullpen ERA. Lowest bullpen ERA since 2011. is the 2013 Braves at 2.46. There have been 17 bullpens since 2011 with an ERA below 3. And only three of those since 2017 in this offensive year. That would be Cleveland 2017, Oakland last year, and the Dodgers last year in small sample size. So, wow, that would be something if the White Sox bullpen can have under a 3 ERA. But, you know, with the also the deadening of the baseballs that we're going to see, it's interesting. I think I'll say they'll get there. Just barely, they will get there under the 3 ERA. Sean, what do you think?
Yeah, I think that they will be over, but not too much. And one of the closer ones to 3 was the 2018 Dodgers with a 3.03 ERA. I think that will probably be where they're more similar to. Because you look at Crochet, obviously we saw how great he was to start off his career, but I don't know if he'll be able to keep that up. And Kopech going to a bullpen role, again, we don't know how he'll do in just one inning stints or, you know, 1 to 2 inning stints.
And then the hard hit percentage for Chris Bryant. We mentioned this with Eno Saris. 2015, 44%. 2016, 38.9%. 2017, 37%. Noticing a trend. 33% in 2018. And again in 2019, 31% in 2020. 33.5 is the number, the hard hit percentage for Chris Bryant. I think it'll be slightly above that. Just above that.
I'll take above it too. I think he's healthy. I think he's back, and I've never been a guy who's been out on Chris Bryant. I think he'll be able to perform again.
I think just slightly above that though. I don't think he's going to be back approaching 38, 39, and 40. Unfortunately, but there they are. Some numbers we'll be looking at. Texter's angry with me choosing the Nationals. Come on, Speaks. The Braves, the Mets. I know. Lots of good teams in that division. It's a crazy division. I have this feeling about Strasburg and Scherzer resurging together. This has been Hit and Run. We'll follow this stuff all year long. Looking forward to next week's show after opening day. We'll have been here. We'll be into the baseball season by next week. Unbelievable. Anthony Herron is coming up next right here on 670 The Score. For Sean Anderson, I'm Matt Spiegel. Thank you so much. Thank you to our guest today, Sean Marshall from Marquee, who is absolutely terrific, and Eno Saris from The Athletic. Have a wonderful Sunday, everybody. Talk to you all week on Parkins and Spiegel at 2 right here on 670 The Score.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
I feel
like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.